Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let us open with our little prayer this morning. Father, we thank you we can gather. We thank you we can open your word once again. And Lord, teach us to pray and teach us to honor you, worship you, and listen to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, 7 years ago, on May 20, we did this Bible study and a prayer devotion, and then we went into Psalms and we went into Proverbs. And so 7 years later, I thought we'd go back through the prayers in the Bible again. So this is the first dialogue in the Bible. This is really what prayer is. It's a dialogue between man and God. Basically, the basics of it is one person to God, God to a person. Yeah, you can pray in groups and all, but still God sees it, I believe, as individually. And if there's 8 billion praying at once, I think he sees 8 billion different prayers. So we have the account here in Genesis of this first dialogue. Now, God had spoken to Adam a few times, but there hadn't been any dialogue back and forth until the fall here. And so we pick it up right after the fall in the dialogue because of the fall. In verse 8, we read of chapter 3, they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, notice who initiates this, it's the Lord. The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was quite afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And then I skipped on down to verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Prayer, as I mentioned, is just a direct communication with God. And when we pray, we should just be thinking about him. We shouldn't be thinking about everything else. And we shouldn't allow other things to come into our thoughts and other things to come into our ears and other things come into our mind. Just we have now this communication between God and man. And it's begun always, prayer always begins from God's end. And you may think, well, no, I decided to pray. Well, who put that in your heart? And even who put in your heart what to pray if you're listening to him? And if you're sensing him, now if you're going in headstrong and full of pride and you just want to pray about yourself, that really isn't going to be much of a prayer because it's not going to go anywhere, right? But we're to be in communication with him to do his will, to align ourselves with his will, right? Not the other way around. We don't go in begging, oh Lord, please turn your mind around and do what I want you to do. No, no, that's not prayer. That's just a pitiful personal request, really. So notice this prayer starts with God, as I had said. It is the Lord who comes into the garden and he calls out for man. So the first question here that he asks is, Adam, where are you? First question in the Bible, by God to man, where are you? Probably could be a question all the way through the Bible and even to the end of the Bible. Where are you? Where am I? What's going on in my life? For most of us, the majority of our life is past us, not what's ahead. How is it going? Where am I? Am I on path? Am I on target? Am I living a spirit-filled life? Well, Adam responds, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. So that's partially true. He's afraid now because he's guilty, right? He's sinned. He's eaten of the fruit that he was told not to eat. And the consequences of that were, if you eat of that, you shall surely die. So no wonder he's afraid when he hears God. But think of the change. Probably right before he ate of that fruit, he couldn't wait to be in God's presence. And he couldn't wait to just open himself up to the Lord. But now he's guilty, and so now he's afraid. Now he's trying to hide. You know what they did? I'm not sure, a few verses, I think it's before this, they try to cover their own sin. They try to cover themselves with fig leaves. And you can't cover your sin. No way. Never going to work for you to cover your sin. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. And why? Because I was naked. Now that's an interesting comment. And we look at that and we think, yeah, they didn't have any clothes on. But this is more than that. I really believe before the fall, man was clothed in light. And I believe we will be clothed in light again in our glorified state. We certainly are now clothed in righteousness, which we weren't clothed before we received him as Savior. And Adam and Eve didn't have the righteousness of the Lord about them. I don't know if it's righteousness at that point, because it was more innocence. To be righteous, you have to receive what is righteous and you have to reject what is unrighteous. That's the only way you can be righteous. You've got to not only accept what's right, you've got to not accept what's wrong, right? So here he said, I was naked. And I hid myself. So God's second question is, who told you you were naked? I didn't tell you that. Who told you you were naked? Now this is probably one of the biggest aspects of this whole account here that I think we should pay attention to. We really need to be careful of screening out things other than God. So who told him it was naked? Well, Satan. And he listened. He listened to that. He should have never listened to him. Don't ever communicate with him other than rebuke him in the name of Jesus and turn it over to Jesus. But it's very important at what we don't hear, because we choose not to hear it. So if you ever find yourself in a kind of a downtime, or I mean, you're not really charging away, you're just kind of relaxing a little bit, and you can open yourself up to all kinds of junk, right? I mean, if you just turn on a screen, chances are, if you don't be careful, you're going to get something that you shouldn't even be watching, right? And that's almost addictive. I mean, it's, you don't want to turn it off. You want to just keep watching, and it's going nowhere. It takes you nowhere, but downward, basically. A very perceptive question God implies. I didn't tell you, but somewhere you must have learned this. So what's in your mind, what's in your heart these days? It's not of God. Get rid of it and don't let it back in. So the response now to this, Adam shifts blame. That's our tendency. We get it from Adam, I guess. It's always been. Then Adam said, the woman whom you gave me. Notice that blame shift. He not only shifts the blame off of himself to his wife, he shifts it off of himself to God. So he wants to get God and his wife the focus of the blame rather than himself. And you say, well, that's stupid. Well, that's exactly what I do. It's exactly what we do. You don't understand why I did this. Now, our culture has gotten so far away from this because of godlessness. We don't have any criminals in this country anymore, generally speaking. The public comes down on the side of the criminal. Just think about Elon Musk and Doge and that kind of a thing. You know, everybody should be thrilled we're cutting out waste, right? So how did the press and the public and so forth come down on Musk? They castigated him as terrible, started burning cars and breaking into things and all that kind of stuff. So they don't take the side of what is good. They reject that and they go to what is evil, right? So that's nothing new. This has happened since right here, really, when he said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave of the tree. But then he says three very critical words. He said, and I ate. If he wouldn't have said that, it wouldn't have gone well. But he's confessed now. He says, and I ate. So immediately, God moves on now to Eve. Question number three. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? So her response, what do you think it's going to be? Blame shifting again. The woman said, the serpent deceived me. Well, the serpent probably did deceive her. But remember, Satan can never make you sin. You choose to sin yourself. He can tempt you, but he can't. He has no power to make you sin. Mm-hmm. So don't be blaming Satan for a sin that you've committed. He may have tempted you, but you were the one that made the decision to do that. He didn't make that for you. So the serpent deceived me. But then she says these three beautiful words. She said, and I ate. So now, basically, she's confessed that she did do that. So God moves on. In fact, everything now for both Adam and Eve changes instantly. They both confessed, right? And I ate. God's no longer questioning them, no longer probing them. Now he turns around and becomes their defense attorney. Jesus is our defense, is he not, before Satan? So the Lord now turns and focuses on the serpent and begins to curse him, and he announces the unavoidable consequences of the sin to man and to woman. But God says, nevertheless, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be going through it with you. Hurt and heartache, to be sure, but I'll be going through it with you. And then skipping on a few verses to verse 21, we have the element of blood entering into the scripture, where the Lord God fashions tunics of skin for them as a covering. And what's on the inside of the skin is blood. So this is the first of killing in the Bible, I believe, that we have, but it's because it's the substitutionary principle that will be put through the entire Bible, culminating in the substitution of our Lord Jesus Christ in place of us for our sins. So this is where we get the beautiful introduction here. Now, I skipped over, of course, the great prophetic verse there of Genesis 3:15, where the seed of the woman, which will be Jesus Christ, and of course, seed of the woman is only fits a virgin, which it wouldn't normally. It has to be supernatural, because a woman cannot produce a person without the seed from somewhere. And we read then that the son or seed of serpent will bruise his heel, but he shall crush Satan's head, right? First messianic prophecy in the Bible, as you know, Genesis 3:15. So Genesis chapter 3 is quite a chapter, and it is the chapter that if you don't understand that, then you end up saying, well, why did God do all these things? Why does he have evil? Why does he allow children to be born deformed? Why does he allow this? Why does he allow that? Well, because of man's sin. He doesn't cause it, but it happens, right? It's consequences of our sin. We're in a fallen world. And so we can't understand a lot of things that happen, but you can pretty much take everything back to the fact that we're in a fallen world. But we ourselves are no longer fallen because of what he has done for us. The sin of Adam has been paid for by his blood for all of mankind if we just receive it. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So this brings us kind of to the end of the account here we wanted to cover this morning. And now we have time to communicate directly with our Lord, because the veil has been torn and there's nothing prohibiting us from having access directly with God Almighty. So let us pray. Well, as we kind of come to near the end of the hour, I just want to go over this list of world leaders one more time and updated it this morning. There were four or five of them that have changed, and I'm not sure I ever have all of these right, but I want to pray for Xi Jinping in China and Narendra Modi in India. Those two alone, there are about two. Well, we have 1.5, about 3 billion people. 3 billion people under them. So we pray for them, Lord. They might turn to you. Pray for Donald Trump, Lord, and thank you for him. Thank you for his admission that he's a praying man and standing for life and doing so many things right. Thank you for him. Pray for Prabowo Subianto, if I got that right, Indonesia. Pray for Luiz Lula da Silva, Brazil, so liberal and so far from you. The former one, Bolsonaro, was a strong believer, but this new guy is not. Asif Ali Zardari, Pakistan, all I know, he's a Muslim. Bola Tinubu, Nigeria, another Muslim. Mohammed Shahabuddin, Bangladesh, another Muslim. Vladimir Putin, Russia. The new gal in Mexico, Claudia Pardo. And I put down Benjamin Netanyahu, not because Israel's big, but because Israel's important. And Friedrich Merz, M-E-R-Z, of Germany, recently has become prime minister, I believe. And then this man, Keir Starmer, in the UK. And Lord, you know all of these people. We don't know any of them, really. But we are to pray for kings and authorities. And so we do that this morning, knowing that you hear our prayer and you know the way the prayer should be prayed, because we know nothing about them, but we know they all were made in your image. Yes. Yes. Your shed blood covers the sin of all of them if they would repent and turn to you. And I pray if just one right now would turn to you, what a glorious thing that would be. Or if two, or if three, or if four. Maybe today is the day. And Lord, we think that, I kind of get the idea, well, if I don't pray for him today, I can pray for him next week or next month. And we forget that this may be our last day, maybe their last day. So we lift them up in prayer. And as we come to close with just a familiar song, I just wanted to go back to the basics here. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare, and oft escaped the tempter's snare, and oft escaped the tempter's snare. Yes, O Lord. Leave us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. I should just mention in passing, the one word I didn't emphasize there in Genesis was that Eve saw. When you've got forbidden fruit, the last thing you want to do is get close enough to see it. And she not only saw it, but she was by herself. So she's in really a bad spot by herself, standing under the tree where you're not supposed to eat of. Now that's a recipe for disaster. And even though that Eve would have been far brighter than we are in this present generation, even the brightest and the perfectly formed first born, well, not ribbed out, whatever you call it, first created, sinned, right? Can you imagine that? The first two. Didn't get beyond the first two. So that's who we are. Yep. But we have a Savior. We have a Savior from before the foundation of the world. Second verse, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear. To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. So let's sing this together. Father, we do thank you. We thank you these Saturday mornings are sweet. And we thank you for always being here. We lift up those who aren't here today, that you would bless them, guide them, and keep the prayers going, so to speak. And Lord, may we praise you and honor you this day, and may we recognize what you would have us to do hour by hour. All for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.